Good afternoon. We'll call this meeting of the Job Growth, Energy Affordability, Policy and Finance Committee to order. Today is Tuesday, May 3rd. The first order of business is approval of the minutes dated Monday, March 18th. Representative O'Neill moves approval of those minutes. Any corrections, changes, additions, or subtractions? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails. The minutes are adopted.
What's up, buddy?
Members, we have one bill on the agenda today. It's House File 3925. The chair will move House File... there's a second set of amendments from Tuesday, April 19th. Representative Vogel will move approval of those minutes. Is there any corrections or additions, changes to that? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion prevails. The minutes are adopted as well for that day. Members, we have one bill on the agenda for today. This is House File 3925. The chair will move House File 3925 be recommended to pass and referred to the General Register. To Ways and Means. Representative Hackworth, my understanding is the A6 amendment is yours. Is that correct?
Correct.
And members, what this does is it takes the bill and has it conform to the fiscal note. My apologies for not getting this submitted earlier, but we just got the fiscal note today. Representative Mahoney, do you want to say anything before we take action on this amendment that may violate the 24-hour rule? Are you okay with us moving forward on that?
Go ahead, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion on the A6? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. Representative Hackworth, my understanding is the bill is now in the form you would like. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Chairman.
Please proceed with your presentation and welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much. Members, House File 3925 is a result of a legislative auditor's report on the IRRRB and some issues that have to do with giving out grants and loans. From the particular accounts within the IRRRB. This bill does not touch any of the money that goes to the local units of government, the schools, the townships, the cities, the counties. It doesn't have anything to do with any of that. This bill is the discretionary spending that takes place within the IRRRB and the grants and the loans that are given out. So what this bill does, it provides some transparency and some accountability to that money that's been given out so we can track and find out exactly where the money's going and what's been done with it. There's been some grants given out that are not tracked. There's a promise of so many jobs that are supposed to be created, and there's no follow-up to make sure that those jobs are still in place after the money's been given out and spent. There's a number of examples of that, and it's all contained within the legislative auditor's report. You might recall the issue with the Excelsior Energy issue, which is a huge issue that was defaulted on, and I think that was a huge problem, and that's a big reason why this is here as well. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for any questions, and there might be some other testimony, but I just wanted to clarify some of those things about the bill.
Thank you, Representative Hackforth. At this point, I think we'll go to additional public testimony, and then we'll move to member questions after that. So the highly distinguished member, Representative Manzels, is in the audience, so we want to make sure we get to hear from him today. Welcome to the committee, sir. I don't think you need to introduce yourself because you're a legislator, but please proceed with your testimony.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee. I'm speaking as a member of the board of Iron Range Resources, and since January I have been the it's been my privilege to be the chair of that board. I'd like to begin with an hypothesis, which is if this piece of legislation were to pass both houses of this legislature and be signed into law by Governor Dayton, it would be tantamount to the legislature, all 201 of us, telling the Minnetonka City Council or the Anoka County Board or Burns Township how it is that they may spend their local property tax dollars. The taconite production tax was actually in place and was given impetus by the taconite amendment passed by all of the people of the state of Minnesota in 1965. The creation of the Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation Board exists as a consequence of law. Under current law, it's made up of senators and representatives who represent Senate and House districts where at least one-third of the residents in those legislative districts live within the taconite assistance area. And the taconite assistance area consists of six counties: Lake, Cook, St. Louis, Itasca, a slice of Crow Wing, and Aiken. So at the present time, the board is comprised of four senators and five members of the House of Representatives. Eight of the current members happen to be Democrats, and one happens to be a Republican, the representative from Aiken County, Representative Lewick. And now my point about Minnetonka and Burns Township and the property tax issue. According to the bill, all of the members on the newly constituted legislative commission to run the IRRRB could, in theory, live outside of the taconite assistance area, because under the legislation, no requirement is in place that anybody on the new commission actually represent the people of the Iron Range. No requirement would exist for anybody on the new commission to actually represent the people of the Iron Range. That is extremely significant and unprecedented, and in fact could result in what is money derived from a tax on production, which is a tax in place of local property taxes. An argument could be made that this money would be eligible to be spent anywhere in the great state of Minnesota in any of the 87 counties. And we are talking about the money that is left after the distribution of the production tax according to Minnesota Statute 298.28, which is the distribution in law to local units of government. Everything else, as Representative Hackbarth has alluded to, the bill's author, would become under the purview of the new commission and the 201 members of the Minnesota legislature. And the two major funds, the funds that remain after the statutory distribution to local units of government, are the Taconite Environmental Protection Fund, which was created in 1977 by the legislature. And the purpose of the Taconite Environmental Protection Fund was to reclaim, restore, and enhance the iron mining region of northeastern Minnesota, which was damaged due to the effects of iron ore and taconite mining. And as its mission was to be the diversification of the region's economy toward a more diversified and balanced economic sector. So it was designed to use the production tax to encourage and develop additional businesses and industries. The commissioner administers that fund, and the board and the governor approve those projects. There is, at the present time, as of June 30, 2015, I beg your pardon, a balance in that account of slightly less than $10 million. And I would argue that's part of the future for the next generations to come of Iron Rangers. And I would argue decisions as to how those resources are spent should be made by the people of the Iron Range through their elected representatives and senators. The second fund, after the statutory distribution is made to local units of government, is the Northeast Minnesota Economic Protection Fund, now named after one of the region's most effective senators in our history, Senator Doug Johnson. It is called the DJJ Fund. This fund is slightly different than the earlier fund I referenced because only interest in dividends from this fund may be spent before January 1, 2028. Expenditures from the principal can only be made by a unanimous vote of the board, all 9 votes. So the point that I'm attempting to make to the author and Mr. Chair and the committee is that it is the business of this legislature to delegate to the city of Minnetonka, the township of Burns, and the county of Anoka to spend their property tax dollars as they see fit on behalf of the residents in those jurisdictions. I would argue that the same standard should be applied to the taconite and iron ore mining industry in the 6 counties of northeastern Minnesota where the ore is extracted, because those mining companies that have mined for close to 135 years, you know our history, you've heard us tell it to you enough. Those mining companies do not pay property taxes. as other commercial and industrial ventures do in your districts. And the reason why a production tax was put in place by those visionary legislators decades and decades ago was because it is impossible, nearly impossible, to accurately judge the value of a mineral that is deep within the earth. And it's only upon extraction and processing and shipping and selling, in our case, to steel makers on the lower lakes, that a value can appropriately be placed. And the value that is currently placed on that material, that ore, that iron ore, that taconite, the low grade ore that's left, is $2.60 a long ton. $2.60 a long ton. You can do the math. We're talking our property wealth. This is the property wealth of northeastern Minnesota. It should not be spent by anyone other than the people who live along the iron ore formation, the people whose futures depend upon this industry and this economy. So the bill before you would take all of that away and it would take all of that away under the guise of a legislative auditor's report, which was a program evaluation. It was about compliance. It was about monitoring. It was not about the quality of the loans or the underwriting or the difficulties in diversifying a natural resource-based region into a different economy. Now, Commissioner Phillips and his staff have been working for a little more than a year. It's been a little more over a year that Commissioner Phillips assumed the commissionership of Iron Range Resources. And prior to the legislative auditor's report becoming public, Commissioner Phillips and his staff were already deeply into making improvements to grant processes, due diligence, developing the software that would lead to better monitoring of job creation and retainment of jobs that are, of course, the purpose of the resources. Now, if this committee or any other committee is interested in analyzing the quality of the decision making and the due diligence of the loan making and the underwriting, one must take a look at the entire period within which the legislative auditor did his analysis. And as has been alluded to by Chairman Hackbarth by far. The most egregious failure at Iron Range Resources in the history of the agency took place during the governorship of Tim Pawlenty and then Commissioner Lehman. $9.5 million of local taconite production tax money gone. $10 million in Xcel Energy's Renewable Development Fund, which was part of the Prairie Island legislation in 95. $10 million gone. And over $20 million in federal loan guarantees. Developed and provided by members of the congressional delegation in Washington, D.C., federal tax credits. But we won't get into the failures. But if you want to, that's the poster child of economic development failure on the Iron Range. And so, Mr. Chair and my friend, Representative Hackbarth, this is a very serious matter. This is the future of the people of the Iron Range. And we're down right now. We're down. We feel bad. We're hurting. It took 6 months to extend unemployment benefits. But we'll come back. But you should not do this to us. You should not take our property tax money unless you intend on taking Burns Townships, Minnetonka's, in Anoka counties as well. So thank you for your time, Mr. Chair. I'd be willing to try to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Representative Ranzels. First of all, members of the committee, may remind you that if you have a wireless device, please move it away from the microphones. If it persists, press the mute button to see if it's you or not, because that is messing up the internal as well as the broadcast audio. Representative Ranzels, what I'm going to do is we're going to take testimony from other testifiers, but you'll be around for questions afterwards. Thank you very much. Commissioner? Welcome to the committee, sir. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Mark Phillips. I'm the Commissioner of Iron Range Resources and the Rehabilitation Board. I didn't make a prepared statement. I thought I was here to answer questions, but
I'm sorry.
I could make a couple of comments just on observation. The legislative audit was on a program evaluation on our agency, and it made certain recommendations, as Representative Anzalk indicated, were about our inability to fairly evaluate our programs because of inconsistent measurements of job creation, things like that. It wasn't that we didn't count jobs or we didn't track loans or grants. In fact, we've had financial audits at the agency and everything is as it should be. And I hear once in a while something about accountability and we need to find out where the money goes. All our transactions, our budgets and everything are done in the public, at public meetings. They are published on our website before, during, and after. They're televised. They're our agency is audited. We're subject to all data practices requests. So I take a little bit of exception to my friend. I know he's well-intentioned, but when he says that we need to find out where the money's been spent, that's never been an issue at IRRRB, or where the money is spent. Now, can you criticize where some of the transactions or something? Possibly, but never an issue on where the money is spent. The other thing is the program evaluation, and I think somebody from the legislative auditors here could answer this if you wanted a corroboration of what I tell you. The program evaluation dealt in areas of, as I mentioned, of program evaluating our own programs of compliance and monitoring. We've taken those very seriously. The constitutional issue, I think, that Representative Hapberg is trying to get at with part of his bill was in an appendix, and it wasn't part of things. So I've hesitated to respond to that side of the deal, more that what had to do with the agency, which was, again, the grants and loans, tracking jobs and things like that. And I think if you brought the representative from the auditor up here, you'd find is that we track jobs. We are 100% compliance of the Minnesota subsidy statutes, job subsidy statutes. A lot of our loans are done in different ways. We have bank participation loans, we have direct lending, we have credit enhancements, and sometimes the partners we have, like in our bank participation loans, don't like to put job requirements in the loan documents because they don't want an event of default of their loan with their customer to be something that they have no interest in. Now, we can do that in our direct loans. In fact, the auditor was complimentary that anytime we had a loan that had a provision of forgiveness in it, we tracked the jobs perfectly to make sure we weren't forgiving a loan that didn't have, wasn't qualified. So I think sometimes these things get a life of their own, and pretty soon that we don't count jobs, that we're not accountable, and we're not, that's absolutely not true. And I will provide whatever information you need about the accountability and the transparency of our, I couldn't find an agency that's more transparent than the IRRRB and the business they conduct. Having said that, now on the appendix, which I did read, even though it didn't really have anything to do with what I'm trying to do at the agency to comply with the suggestions the auditor made, I did read it, and they made several recommendations. I don't believe that this particular solution that Representative Hackbard, well-intentioned as it might be, looks to me as a solution looking for a problem. And that's just, again, my personal opinion. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Commissioner. And again, what we'll do is we'll wrap up public testimony, and then you'll be available for questions afterwards.
Yes.
Thank you very much. This is a public hearing. Are there any members of the public who wish to testify in favor or voice concerns with the bill? Seeing none, we'll... Oh. Hello, sir. Welcome to the committee. Please state your name and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Bob Tamman from Sudan, Minnesota. I spent several years working in the mines, and as I've listened to the testimony, I think it's been more or less, it's been accurate. It's what I expected to hear. And, of course, you understand the facts. My wife, Pat, and I, we pay property taxes. The mining companies do not pay property taxes. And so they make the point we should be having some control over that money. And this is a larger problem in northern Minnesota. How do we get diversified? And frankly, there are a couple situations. The IRRRB is rebating our production tax right back to the mining industry. And while they might make good arguments for doing that, we should understand that the mining industry has a very difficult time on the global market competing. I believe the future of the area where Pat and I live is diversification, and rebating these dollars right back to the industry is not going to help us diversify. So I would ask that as you address this complicated package, and it is very complicated when you think back to the problem that's been described to us, that the board is exercising executive functions that the governor should be doing. A couple of paragraphs could take care of that, and I got a wad of paper I picked up front making all these complicated changes. we don't need a lot of complicated changes. We need to get the money into the economy in northern Minnesota, paychecks, northern Minnesota residents. We need to get our economy diversified. Thank you for this opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much for your testimony, sir. Are there any other members of the public who wish to testify in favor or voice concerns with the bill? Seeing none, we'll close the public comment portion of our bill. We'll go to the author of the bill, Representative Hackbarth. Any comments from you before we move to I may have Ms. Newman do a brief overview of the bill before we go to members' questions and an amendment. So, Representative Hackbarth.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. One thing I want to make very clear, and I think it might be misunderstood by this bill. We are not doing this bill to take this money and to do something with it throughout the rest of the state. I am committed to the fact that this money is supposed to stay on the Iron Range. The reason this the IRRB it was formed in the first place was people knew that iron ore wasn't always going to last on the Iron Range. And then the new technology with taconite came along, and then that extended that. We know that the taconite's not going to last forever. So there needs to be new economic development on the Iron Range. And this pot of money should be going for that purpose. I agree with that 100%. We should be putting that money in that direction to create new opportunities on the Iron Range, over and above what taconite mining has to do with. We should do that. And this money is meant for that purpose. And I think the IRRB and the people in the Iron Range want that to happen. But I think everybody on the Iron Range should be in favor of this bill to make that happen. Because what has been happening is the money's been spent and given out in grants and given out in loans to different companies that were supposed to develop on the Iron Range, and it didn't come to fruition. I can't think of that word. Anyway, it didn't happen. So there's been a number of different things that were good that the money was spent on, and it did develop some businesses on the Iron Range, and it did provide some jobs, but we're grasping at straws. We need to create some new opportunities on the Iron Range, and this bill is going to make that happen because a lot of that money is being spent and given out, and there's no follow-up on the jobs. We don't know how many jobs are being created. We don't know over time how many jobs have been created. Those kinds of things are what this is all about. Like I keep saying, it's about transparency and accountability. This is a state agency, folks. This is the only state agency that has no legislative oversight whatsoever. None. It's the only state agency without any legislative oversight. Representative Anzell's brought up about, well, first of all, Burns Township is no longer a township. It's a city of now then, and it's no longer in my district either. So that being said, we don't want to change any of that money that's going to the local units of government and the schools, etc. That's all staying in place. So, folks, this is about creating economic development on the Iron Range, and it doesn't have anything to do with changing those things that have to do with the tax structure and how the local units of government receive their money. And we don't want to take the money and move it off of the Iron Range. But this does need some accountability through the Minnesota legislature. The legislature should be embarrassed by the fact that we don't do any oversight on this issue. The governor should be embarrassed by it. The legislators that represent that area should be embarrassed by the fact that there is no state legislative oversight of this money.
Thank you. Ms. Newman, is there any, we have the nonpartisan research summary in front of us. Is there any highlights you think merit attention for the committee before we go to members' questions?
Mr. Chair, I can briefly talk about the new commission and the membership if you desire that.
Please do.
Mr. Chair and members, the meat of the bill, such as it is in Section 6, which begins on page 5, and it's here where the current Iron Range Resources and Rehabilitation Board structure is stricken effective July 1st, 2017, and there is a new legislative citizen commission on Iron Range Resources that's set up. That commission would start July 1st of 2016. And so for appropriations made by the 2017 legislature, the commissioner of Iron Range Resources would have to submit the budget to that legislative citizen commission for review, evaluation, and recommendation This new Legislative Citizen Commission is a 9-member commission that is comprised of 3 members of the Senate, one of which has to be a member of the minority, 3 members of the House, one of whom has to be a representative of the minority, and 3 public members, one appointed by the Senate, one appointed by the House, and one appointed by the governor. There are criteria for the citizen members. One of those criteria is that the citizen members have to have a primary residence in the taconite assistance area. The legislative members will serve 2-year terms. The citizen members will serve 4-year terms. This is modeled like the LCCMR, so there is a citizen appointment committee which would recommend citizen members to the House, the Senate, and the governor for appointment to this committee after the initial appointments are made. The rest of the bill is basically conforming changes so that where there are references to board approval of anything, that's stricken and is generally replaced by a requirement that there be legislative approval and authority that's given to the board for any sort of operational things is vested in the commissioner in this bill. I will point out one other item, which is on page 9 at line 24. There is a provision with this new Legislative Citizen Commission that obviously this is going to meet also when the legislature isn't in session, and so if there would be something unforeseen or an emergency that would come up that the legislature hadn't specifically appropriated something for, this emerging issues account, if the legislature approves that and funds it, would exist, and this Legislative Citizen Commission with a unanimous vote could spend money from that account or give the appropriation to the commissioner to deal with the emergency or the emerging issue. The other piece is if you go to the very end of the bill, Mr. Chair and members, there are 2 appropriations in here. One is for a study that management and budget would be required to do or to contract for to study the Giants Ridge project, and one of the aspects is the sale of the property has to be considered. And the second piece in section 29 at the bottom of page 38 is the Legislative Coordinating Commission has an appropriation in this bill, as they would be the ones that would oversee the financing of this new LCCIRR and appoint an executive director and staff.
Thank you. Members, do you have any questions for Ms. Newman before we move on to questions of the public testifiers? Good. Right. Thank you very much, as always. Questions for the testifiers or members of the committee? Representative Metza.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've got a few here as we've gone through. First, to the author of the bill, Chairman Hackbarth, you just recently spoke about the job creation opportunity, and I was just wondering, we've got work that I believe our agency has been testifying down here for an exciting opportunity for all of northeastern Minnesota in regard to a siting incentive. As part of this proposal and as the legislature moves towards a close, do you plan on supporting that legislation in terms of the job creation from a state level down here with us?
And Representative Hackbarth, for those members of the committee who are in the know on this, I would just remind you that there's a non-disclosure agreement involved with this project for those who have signed it or are familiar with it, so just be careful any further conversations anyone has in the committee about we are in a public room. So if it applies to you, keep that in mind. If it doesn't apply to you, say whatever you want. So Representative Hackbarth.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Metza. I have a tendency to support the legislation. I have some concerns about the legislation as well. I have some concerns with giving some money to the IRRRB, not knowing who the money's going to go to in the final deal, mm-hmm. if you want to call it that. So I do have some concerns, but I would like to be able to support the legislation, yes.
Representative Metza.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Chairman Hackbarth as well. We really hope that that comes to fruition this year and creates the jobs that we hope it does. And if you'd like to get in the loop, I'm sure Commissioner Phillips would be more than happy to bring in on that and get the proper paperwork in order for the non-disclosure. Kind of in that same line, do you think that deed should have the same legislative oversight that you referenced in regard to the grants and loans that they administer with their general fund appropriation?
Representative Hackbarth.
Well, Mr. Chairman and Representative, I don't know exactly what you mean by that, but when deed comes to the legislature for their approval of their budget, I think we do have legislative oversight of that.
Mm-hmm. Representative Metzen.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. It's a little different, though, and maybe someone from deed could come down and explain, or the agency. Once we appropriate a dollar amount, we kind of leave it up to them within reason to work out grant and loan scenarios with different companies, and maybe Representative Vogel here can help me out. Representative Vogel, would it make sense as from a banking perspective, which I know is your background, if you were working with a state agency to, say, attract a larger company, the bank had a match in that, would you want, as a banker, for those funds which the agency had jurisdiction of to come down to the legislature to make sure they could get approved if you wanted to keep a deal getting done in a timely fashion?
And Representative Metzen, did you want me to have deed come down first, or did you want Representative Vogel to answer your question? You kind of answer both those.
Whatever your preference is, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Well, Representative Vogel?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've got to be honest, I've never participated in one of those loan transactions. Typically, in a more advanced loan transaction, you would have legal advice telling you what should and shouldn't be in there, but I can't really speak from experience on that.
Representative Metzen.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I've spoken to a few of the banks in our district who are quite concerned about that aspect in terms of, you know, trying to find, even if it's a small business moving in for a smaller grant that the agency's giving out through, say, the DJJ, which would be required to come to the legislature, it causes some uncertainty in their lending if there's a matching portion. And that was very concerning to some of our local banks, who are excited to have the opportunity to invest in a new business and be their financial arm, so to speak, in terms of helping with cash flow and other things. However, when the state legislature is mentioned, they do sense a little bit of hesitancy moving forward in that direction, knowing that they could spend months, maybe a year on a deal, and have someone down here at the Capitol, if we're approving line items on the budget, get upset and take that opportunity and business away from them. And so reason I mention that is the bill, is moving forward, and I think there's a lot of things that need a little bit more work. And I know last time we talked, Representative Hackbarth was at the first hearing, and I was just wondering, at that time you hadn't had a chance to reach out to any local county commissioners, mayors, school board members, agency members, or IRRRB agency employees and or appointees. Have you had a chance to do that yet, to get input from them?
Representative Hackbarth.
No.
Representative Metzen.
They have the opportunity to contact me as well.
Representative Metzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And one more question for you, Chairman Hackbarth. Could you let me know, there's currently a citizen review board at the agency. Could you walk me through what they aren't doing properly, in your opinion?
Representative Hackbarth.
Well, and Mr. Chairman and Representative Metz, I don't know that, so I'm not familiar with that. But I can tell you that this is going to have three citizens on the board or on the commission. And I think there's a lot of people that are concerned that there's not going to be representation from the Iron Range, and that's representation from the Iron Range. It's spelled out in the bill. Three citizens from the Iron Range are going to be on the board or on the commission. And that's not to say that the governor can't and the other appointees from the legislature aren't going to all be from the Iron Range as well. They certainly can be. And if I was making those appointments, I think that they should be from the Iron Range as well. Doesn't mean they have to be. So I don't understand the point, but I do think that I'm not sure if you want to bring a bill forward that's going to say that this should be structured more like the deed agency within state government. Maybe that's what we should have. But this was one of the recommendations by the legislative auditor that we should go in the direction of something like the Lessard SAMS or the LCCMR or something like that. And this is fashioned after LCCMR. We thought that would provide the best oversight. So when we talk about, you know, maybe that deed doesn't have to go through these procedures, well, that's how they operate. But this is how this is going to operate. And I think that this is a better solution than just lumping everything together when we want to provide some oversight.
Representative Metza.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. So this will be my final question for you, Representative Hackbarth. So say we come to a point this session where we find out that this siding company is in fact coming. We feel really good about it. They're going to be building at some point in the future, and it's after the date of enactment, and we know that, say, 3 weeks after the date of enactment, that they would be planning to build their plant at that point. But there were a few small changes that we need to make in those loans and grants from the IRRRB, which right now could be done internally. Could you explain why it would be better to have that project get put on hold to come to the legislature, or for all of us to have to come back down for a special session to approve that funding?
Representative
Mr. Eckhart, Chairman,
on the hypothetical.
Exactly right, Mr. Chairman. I don't know that that's going to happen, and that's a very broad question. I don't know how that would all work. If we have to come back to the Minnesota legislature to take care of that issue, I think that that's what we should do in order to get that company to have the business here.
And Representative Metza.
Just to that point, so would you support something in there saying that we'd have to come to a special session if it meant job creation during an out-of-session grant that need to be adjusted, putting that requirement in for us?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Metza, I don't know that I would state it that way, but I am open to other changes within this bill if it's going to make it work better.
Representative Metza.
And that's all, Mr. Chair. There.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of things. I've wrestled with this since I heard about the legislative auditor's report, and I've been familiar with legislative auditor's reports in the past. In fact, I brought one with me that's in my office. The legislative auditor's report from 2011 on environmental review and permitting. And at that time, when we put House File 1 together, I worked with Representative Ansells and members of the Iron Range to do some special legislation that was incorporated in there with regards to magnetation. My point is that, I want to help the Iron Range. I think that people know that my heart is in greater Minnesota, rural Minnesota. But I do have a couple of, I've read some of the editorials and the op-eds and so forth that have been in the papers, and one of them was from up north. And I have to take exception with the first sentence in there. It said, Republicans in St. Paul smell blood in the Iron Range political waters. For me personally, Representative Ansells, Representative Metza, and other friends, I don't smell any blood, okay? I don't think that my colleagues on this side of the aisle smell political blood. But I also do believe that there are some things that are pointed out in the legislative auditor's report that I think that we have to take seriously. Even the words of Senator Bach says that we need to take this seriously. And to Representative Hackbarth's comments about this bill may not be perfect, he's willing to work with people to try to craft the bill to get it to some place to where the Iron Range and the people in the Iron Range are in a better place, I support that. Before I got here, a lot of people know that I used to be a teacher and a coach, and I spent a long time doing that. And when I was a youngster, in my early 20s, I oftentimes viewed the evaluation processes that I went through on a yearly basis, whether they were evaluating my coaching, on my teaching, along with other friends of ours in Roseau, Commissioner Phillips. At one point in my career, I took those as almost kind of an adversarial type of relationship with my administrators, until I figured out that, quite frankly, my administrators were trying to help me to become better at the job that I was doing, and which obviously then led to creating a better situation for my students and the athletes that I coached. And once I learned to embrace an evaluation process as an opportunity for growth, it truly became an opportunity for growth for me. If I resisted the changes and so forth, it just seemed to make my job more difficult. So, and this is kind of a statement, maybe more than, at this point, more than a question, but Commissioner Phillips, I hope that you realize that myself and other members are seeing the OLA's report as an opportunity for growth in what's going on the Iron Range. And I don't believe that doing nothing is an option, and I'm not suggesting that anybody is proposing doing nothing, but I do think that we have a bill before us that we have to take a hard, serious look at. And in the end, what changes that we can make to the IRRRB board and turning it into a commission or whatever are going to produce the best results, and produce the best results for long-term economic growth and a diversification of the economy on the Iron Range. And I would encourage you, and I know that we have the METSA amendment today that is basically Senator Bach's bill from the Senate. I'm not convinced that goes far enough. And I'm not here to beat up on Commissioner Phillips or the IRRRB, but I've watched some of the other testimony before our committee and some of the other hearings that have happened, and at some point some of the conversations have become adversarial. And I would hope that at some point, you know, we can take the OLA's report and embrace it and work with Chair Heckbarth to come up with some more changes for the betterment of the long-term viability and economic development of the Iron Range. Commissioner Phillips, in Senator Bach's bill and the METSA amendment, and we can probably get to that later on, but I do have a couple of questions with regards to that. I'm sure you're familiar with that. If the board were to be relegated to an advisory role, what would you see as your role in that scenario?
Commissioner Phillips.
Mr. Chairman, I might give a little bit long-winded answer to this because...
Well, my question was long-winded too, so...
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, Representative Fabian, right from day one, the agency has embraced the legislative audit report. If you review any testimony I've given, we are taking every one of these recommendations seriously. In fact, we've completed a couple of them. They asked us to do an economic impact study on Giants Ridge, and it turned out to be almost $44 million a year annually. That's why I guess I'm just skeptical why we would want to sell it, but that's one thing they asked us to do. It was already underway when they did, but it wasn't completed when they did the program evaluation. We've also already undertaken a new procedures and software for our grants program that should bring us fully in compliance with suggestions made by the legislative auditor. And we are budgeting and making plans to become fully compliant in the loan area. So we are fully embracing the whole legislative audit report. Again, the constitutional issue is outside. And one of the recommendations, they gave like three or four scenarios, I believe, in the appendix of what they could do to satisfy that, and I believe Senator Bach's bill is one of the suggestions in there. So if you ask me to comment on that. So again, then getting to the final question, what does it mean? That's the way it was. I worked at the agency in the early 80s when Governor Perpich was governor, and the board was advisory to the commissioner at that time, and that's the way the rest of the executive agencies operate in all of state government. And when I was at DEED, we had program evaluations that had just as harsh recommendations, because it wasn't the IRRRB, it wasn't on the front page of the Star Tribune, and it didn't have any hearings. We just did them. And we went back to the legislative auditor and said, here's how we addressed your recommendations, and they said, good job. You embrace them. I'm embracing all of these. I'm going to do all of these. I'm going to go back to the auditor with what we do to make sure that we're doing them. If they say, well, that wasn't quite what we had in mind, then we'll revisit them. We have no problem with this. And we are endorsing the solution that takes us back to from 1941 through 1995. It worked for generations and decades. It worked. So that's what we're, I guess, advocating for. We're getting better. I'm with you. I'm 100% in your camp when it comes to say, I would rather have them come in more regularly. Why did they wait 30 years? Come in every couple of years and look at us. And if we can get better every couple of years, great. I'm all for it.
Fabian? Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, back to my question. How would you see your role? Would it be the same as it was then previous to 95?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I would be, Mr. Chairman, President Fabian, I'd be like any other executive agency. The money is appropriated, and we do the execution. We present a budget, again, televised, published, public input, every aspect that you do here. Now, I would say, I'm just going to point out that this issue of readiness, like the LCCMR, we're doing business loans, we're doing grants for development projects. The LCMR is building playgrounds and boat launches and stuff, and those things can have a lead time of years. I know many LCCMR projects are in the pipeline for years. So we're going to do business deals and come back to the legislature and have them approved a year later? DEED doesn't do that. No, you couldn't operate that way. This thing would be a disaster, the way it's laid out. Now, I appreciate Representative Hatbarth. Again, well-intentioned probably. If you want, I mean, I'll work on whatever kinds of legislative change, but again, local property tax dollars are appropriated. They're appropriated by statute to our agency. And then we put a budget together, have it approved in the light of day with the public input, televised on our website before, during, and after, and then we execute to that budget. And we can't vary from that, those programs that we approve, unless we go back again and have a adjustment. I don't know. It's how the whole state government works. And again, if there was some, this is like we have a little skirmish here, and we're doing thermonuclear war rather than having a little battle over some issues. I mean, this is like turning the whole place upside down. For what? For these recommendations that we fully addressed or we're continuing to address? It just doesn't seem appropriate to me, if you ask my opinion, which I think you did.
You did.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. How would you see yourself as being, I'll say, independent from the board? I mean, the board may come up with some recommendations and so forth that you wouldn't approve. What would be...
Every commissioner...
Commissioner Phillips.
Even under... the present circumstance, every commissioner has resisted the board on numerous times. And when they had all the power under this present scenario, sometimes they just never sent the issue to the governor for a signature. So there's a lot of ways to do it. I just think the advisory role is the cleanest way, because then it's so crystal clear. They make a recommendation, I say, well, it doesn't fit the program, whatever. You don't make the decisions based on a whim. You have programs that have guidelines, and that's what the legislative audit report was about. They said we couldn't evaluate our programs very well because, again, it wasn't that we were measuring jobs. One of the critiques, if you want to get into the detail, one of the critiques was that we were asking the companies if they created jobs or not. And the critique was, The information you got back, you didn't go and check the payroll records of the company. And I pushed back a little bit on that one and said, boy, is that practical? Am I going to have two or three more employees and build an addition on our building so people are going out checking payroll records? So they came up with a suggestion, which I have fully embraced, where we might use unemployment insurance information, not personal information, but data, where we could take a meter reading on the company before a loan was made of how many employees they're filed for unemployment insurance on that particular quarter, and then we'd take again, I call it a meter reading every year. If that works, that would be a great solution to that suggestion. That was one of the things. A lot of our grants are for wastewater and clean water projects. Most of them have environmental objectives. We didn't clearly state what the objective was. We didn't say this isn't for, we didn't say the sewer line was going to solve an environmental problem. We didn't state that. We didn't clearly state the objectives. You can review all our grants. They're primarily, mostly for public infrastructure. We have to have a public purpose to spend the money on our grant money on. Can we do a better job? Again, writing down the objective. That's what they're making us get better at this. But to assume then, to jump, to make the leap that something wrong was done, I would challenge that because they didn't critique our underwriting or our grant-making ability at all in this report if you took the time to read it. So if that answers your question.
Representative Hackbarth, you wish to add something?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My concern is that grants and loans are given out to different entities, companies that are supposed to produce jobs, create economic development on the Iron Range. That's the goal of this money. Through deed and through other state agencies, when we grant money to different organizations or groups, and if they don't follow through and they don't get the job done, there's a process in place where you can ask for that money back. I would like to know from the IRRRB if that has happened. We already know by the auditor's report that loans have been given out and there's no follow-up, or we know that the companies have defaulted, or there were jobs created and then they went away. So we know a lot of those things, but was that money asked for back because it didn't produce what they said they were going to do? There are processes in place for that to happen through other state agencies when they give out grants, and it's part of the contract, it's part of the deal. But how much of that has come back to the IRRRB when that didn't happen? That's my question.
Representative Fabian, did you have a follow-up question, or are you done?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would respectfully allow Commissioner Phillips. He seems like he wants to respond to
Representative Mr. Chairman, thank you, Representative Fabian. Mr. Chairman, I would say we have clawback provisions. Again, we got good marks on when we had loans that had job creation goals with a forgivable portion depending on how many jobs they created. The legislative auditor commended us and said we did an excellent job. It's when we didn't have those provisions, and again, all our loans are a little different. The ones that threw our numbers off were our bank participation loans, where the lenders didn't want to put job creation in their loan documents, and we bought a participation in their loan. So we did survey those companies. Again, the critique was, oh, you took the company's word for it how many people they hired. You didn't go and check the payroll records. So now we're really getting down there into the detail, but I'm happy to take care of that. And I won't go through it all again, how we are going to take care of that. So again, a word is written and then people extrapolate the thing gets, a life of its own. It gets to be fiction after a while. Let's deal just with the facts. If you want to get the legislative auditor up here, staff person, I know they're in the room here, and have a debate on the facts of this thing and why this bill, again, is a solution in search of a problem, I'll be happy to sit here all day, all night, tomorrow, or the next day. But when I sit back here, my blood pressure goes up when I hear these things about accountability and where's the money and the public on the range deserves to know. That's fiction. There is nothing. Everything is done in the light of day. We're a public agency. We have public meetings. We don't spend any money unless it's approved. So this idea that there's some, have we had some bad loans? No worse than any. I worked at a bank and I had bad loans. So come to say we can't underwrite loans? In fact, I had a higher lending limit myself as an individual banker than I have at IRRRB when I worked for Wells. I worked for Norwest before it was Wells Fargo. I had a higher lending limit then. So if you want to challenge my ability to underwrite loans, I'll have that debate with anybody here.
And let the record show that when the commissioner said he was willing to spend the rest of the night here talking about this, he was speaking for himself,
absolutely,
not the committee, just to be clear. Representative Fabian, any follow-up?
Well, Mr. Chair, I just... Commissioner Phillips, you and I have had a good working relationship, and I'm not involved in this to find the blood in the water. I'm just trying to get my arms around the Legislative Auditor's Report. I have tremendous respect for what the work that the Legislative Auditor does. Mm-hmm. And it's difficult for me... as a legislator, to not take the recommendations and the opinions of an agency or the auditor's staff, who is, you know, in the nearly 6 years I've been here, one of, if not the most respected parts of state government that we have. So, again, I want to reemphasize, I want your blood pressure to come back on again, okay? This is not something that that I'm doing to... get your blood pressure up there. But I'm curious to know about the independence then, your role as your independence, your ability to say yes, your ability to say no to different projects that may come forward. How do you make those determinations? How would you say yes or no? What would be the things that where you may challenge the board?
Commissioner Phillips.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Fabian, Again, projects are applied for. We have grant applications, we have loan applications, and they are underwritten through a set of guidelines that we have. Public purpose, leverage, community impact. We have a scoring system on our, say, for example, grants, and I would challenge the staff first, and then we bring them to the board. Now, if the board, when they are in a unique position of power, I guess they could make a motion and pass something, and I would just have to do it. So when they become advisory, there's not a potential for a conflict. We can run it by the rules. I'm not saying that hasn't happened under my watch. I've been here a little over a year. I haven't had any conflict with the board. But I mean, technically, we're kind of on the same team when you look at the makeup of the board. So I don't anticipate that would happen. But if you want to set up a system where you're not going to have conflicts no matter what, I would say what was pre-95 was worked for, like I said, for since 1941 it worked. I'm independent. We have, again, program rules, regulations. Let's underwrite them. Let's fund the projects as they deserve. That's just what I did at Deed. And I looked at Representative Gunther. I did a project down in Jackson, Minnesota for AGCO, Representative Gunther's area. Wouldn't have happened if we operated under this thing. If we had to wait a year and a half to come back to the legislature to have the project approved, what kind of business would even put up with that? We had to get them an answer in a matter of a couple months. We had to compete with another site in Georgia, I believe. They were going to build in Georgia or Jackson, Minnesota, and we won out because of our proposal. And then we did the deal because the commissioner had the authority. The money was appropriated in a fund, Minnesota Investment Fund. We had the authority to do it, and we did it. You know, if that would have been the LCCMR deal, it wouldn't have happened.
Representative Fabian.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just two things real quickly. I heard Mr. Tamman talking about the rebates to the mining companies. What's the process involved there? This is news to me. So... how does that happen? What is the official action that's taken that does that, and who's responsible for it?
Mr. Phillips.
Mr. Chairman, that program is in statute. It's a percentage of, it's so much a ton they get the rebate if the project is approved. And it's reinvestment. It's a reinvestment program. They have to reinvest in technology or equipment that advances their... ability to produce either more tons or more cheaply, makes them more competitive. So it's a program that was designed, again, this was put into statute. We're just the operators of it. We operate it very carefully to make sure, again, all those projects have to come, they're underwritten, They're approved through a set of guidelines. Sometimes it takes a long time because things aren't, you know, for a while they couldn't do mobile equipment. I think that might be allowed now. Don't take me literally on that. But there's rules and regulations and statute, and we operate the program like it's supposed to be operated.
Representative Fabian.
Last question, Mr. Chair. Thank you. Commissioner, so with the METSA amendment, where does the buck stop? I mean, with regards to the loans and the grants?
The governor and myself and the governor. I would be the board would be advisory. I would do the projects, and then the governor would have the right to, I guess, veto them.
Representative Fabian.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And then I apologize. This takes me to one other quick comment then. Representative Anzels, I wrote down what you said about no one else but Rangers should have spending authority on the taconite dollars. In essence, the governor has spending, just to be clear, authority. Am I correct? Commissioner,
just like he does any executive agency, Mr. Chairman, I guess just like he does at any executive agency, I'm sure he exercises that. I think he is oversight.
I understand that. Yep,
but in fairness, Representative Fabian, Representative Anzell's comments are completely consistent because he has a constitutional amendment requiring that future governors reside in the Iron Range. So, it's, do you have any other questions, Representative Fabian?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Metza.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and this is more for our nonpartisan staff. Could you tell me the state allocation of the general fund to the IRRRB and give me a comparative with DEED?
Ms. Hendricks, I think you're going to draw the short straw on that one. Ms. Hendricks.
I'm sorry, I should have emailed you first.
That's right.
Mr. Chair, Representative Metza, members of the committee, There is a small, or there is a general fund appropriation that supplements the taconite taxes. I believe it's about $8 million last year, and that is distributed according to the formulas in statute as if it were a taconite tax. So, I mean, we don't put labels kind of on those dollars kind of where they go, but it's distributed according to the formula, so some of it goes to the local government, some of it would end up in the Douglas D. Johnson Fund, and some of the other funds. Comparatively to DEED, I mean, their grant programs vary from a couple of million each fiscal year to $15 million each fiscal year for business development grant programs.
Representative Metza.
And for their operating, for DEED's just operating budget as an agency, do you know about what that costs the state?
Ms. Hendricks.
Mr. Chair and Representative Metza, I don't have those numbers kind of at the ready, but you know, there's operating for administrative services or administrative cost a couple of million, and then DEED does have sometimes they can keep 2 or 3% of the grants for admin costs.
Ms. Hendricks, is that something we could email the members up to the committee on with the operating budget?
Sure, I can put something together, Mr. Chair. Yeah.
Representative Metza.
A couple quick follow-ups here, and it's more to just bring all of you to a point of awareness. My understanding is also that the general fund appropriation to the IRRRB is actually part of a deal that was done years ago in a business property tax buy-down that we did as a legislature as a whole, and because we had money in lieu of property taxes, that actually that was just the way so that our mining company could get credit for that same property tax. And I guess what my point is, we don't get general fund money like DEED. So Representative Hackbarth, again, I mean, Representative Anzels made a really good point earlier. This is local property tax money. We pay for our own. We don't get an administrative 1% on the grants or loans we give out. I think we've been fiduciarily responsible for the most part, a few bad loans here and there, and I'll add that the loans were made under Commissioner Sandy Lehman, who some of them were disastrous in the recommendations to the governor. SR, the clawback for the state right now versus the agency, is we're in a tough pickle up there. I mean, they put out almost $70 million in taxpayer-funded supplements to Itasca County for public infrastructure to incentivize the plant. And I've got to say, I would have probably been very supportive at the time for that. However, our job here at the legislature isn't to write all the clawbacks in. It's to allow our agencies, you know, both DEED and IRRRB, the two I know best anyway, who give out these loans to do just that. You know, say Representative Vogel, your bank wanted to get involved and was participating. You would want the option to have some good clawbacks in there on your behalf and be able to work with Commissioner Phillips and her DEED's new commissioner and have some input in that. The way that this bill is written right now, we wouldn't. And, you know, to be quite honest, I think the reason that the article you referenced, Representative Fabian, said blood in the water is because this is pounding an attack to hang a, say, bandana from a concert you went to with a sledgehammer. It's overkill for what it's actually trying to address. These are local property tax dollars. Agency, I will add, has been on it from day one when the auditor report was there. They probably got some inkling as to some of the things they could have done better as the audit was going on. They've been making those changes. Our delegation, as we sent out letters to the press, met with local media and said, absolutely, we want those loans and grants that were given to have as the proper oversight that we had expect. And for 1 minute, I'm not under the impression that at the Capitol here, all of us have the opportunity to do better every day in every function that we work in down here. And that's why we're here, is to give that input into our communities. Unfortunately, you didn't ask us for some of that input, Representative Hackbarth. And if I can use that as a segue, Mr. Chair, into my delete all amendment, DE2.
All right, so Representative Metza moves the DE2 amendment. Representative Metza.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, the DE2 is something we spent a lot of time looking at the auditor's recommendations. I believe there's only two items in there in my amendment, which, if Ms. Newman, would you mind going over those two areas that the legislative auditor had contacted you on?
Ms. Newman, is there sections of the bill you want her to go through, or just?
Well, I could briefly explain it for, I know we've got the I-90 party and things tonight. Basically, what this does as a whole in the bill is make sure that the board is advisory, and we thought that was a very prudent and good first step to get done this session. We worked really hard with the agency over the first few months after the report came out. Unfortunately, we weren't able to meet deadline in terms of getting a bill drafted and out to you. This is the bill that would address all the references in statute here at the Capitol to fix it to an advisory board like it was pre-1995.
And Representative Metz, I think you provided a good overview of the DE2 amendment. I'm not sure. Is there anything else you wanted Ms. Newman to cover, or is that good enough of an overview?
There's just two lines she had gotten a call about from the legislative auditor for transparency to go through, and a couple questions. I honestly haven't had the time to review it all myself.
Mr. Chair and members, there's actually three items in this draft. I'll start with the two that were flagged by the auditor. The first is on page 17 of the bill, on line page 17 of the DE2 amendment, on line 22. It refers to the commissioner after seeking unanimous approval of the board, and that should probably be modified to reflect that it would be a recommendation rather than approval. And we would have to do a little bit of cleanup language there.
Yep.
And then page 18, line 30, again, this is on the DE2 amendment. It talks about the commissioner may propose a project that must seek approval of the board, and again, that probably should be changed to seek a recommendation from the board. And then there's one additional item that back on page 8. lines 8 and lines 9, which talks about before submission to the board of a proposal, that should probably be reworded to say something like before seeking a recommendation from the board regarding a proposal.
Okay, well, Ms. Newman and Representative Metza, in the event that the committee acts favorably on your DE2 amendment and replaces this language, then I think we should address those at that point. Does that sound fair?
That sounds fair, Mr. Chair.
Any additional discussion on the DE2 amendment?
I just had one.
Representative Metza.
One finishing statement to it. Representative Hackbarth, in good faith, if you want to work together, I prepared this as an amendment. I'm willing today to withdraw it if you would like to move forward into Ways and Means with the bill the way you have it. However, and if you want to take this amendment on the other side, I'm willing to keep it on the table too, and you can add some of the other language back in. But I think you've heard good testimony through a few committees now outlining how the pre-95 was a major problem here. It worked for Minnesota from 1941 to 1995, and actually through to date, if we want to say today, because I don't think there has been a question of constitutionality. I don't think there's been a case where the board has actually tried to usurp the commissioner in terms of a decision. Maybe some pushback here and there on specific items, like any good board member would push for, with things that they think are good projects that are on the list getting submitted to them for a few changes. And but overall, it's worked for many years. I'd say if you wanted to go a long way towards showing our communities that this wasn't a bill just to take a jab at us, to accept this delete all amendment today. And if you want to put some of your changes back in and continue to work with us on other things in Ways and Means, then at least you've made a great step in the right direction to get everything that we know here currently isn't in compliance with the few technical changes, of course, that nonpartisan staff so kindly pointed out, to get this in good shape for something that we could really move this agency in the right direction with at the end of session, that's a little more in line with the Senate bill. So I guess I would leave that up to you,
Representative Hackbarth.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman, and Representative Metza. No, I do not agree with the DE2 amendment. It's just putting a Band-Aid on the issue. It's not solving the entire problem. The constitutionality issue is an issue, and I do believe that does need to be addressed. I think Senator Bach agrees with that as well. I think some other folks on the Iron Range have also agreed that we need to address that issue. But there also needs to be some transparency. We talked about some of this clawback issue. There's many different aspects of this bill that is not being addressed. And I think the commissioner didn't really answer the question, but there's been no clawback on any of these projects that have been that have gone bad and trying to collect some money back, and that hasn't happened. And those kinds of things are some of the issues that we have to address, and that's why this bill is here. I mean, that's just one of the aspects. There's a number of different issues that we have to have some transparency and oversight on. We need to have some legislative oversight on this. And I think we're moving in the right direction with my bill. I'm willing to work with you to make some changes to it, but the DE2 amendment is not the only answer.
Representative Metza to the DE2 amendment.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. With that, then, I'll withdraw the amendment today. However, you know, I think Commissioner Phillips is probably going to tell you the same thing. I'll tell you right now. He might not have stated situation which we've had clawback. However, as recently as this last December, in our loan to SR, the commissioner was out collecting that money because of the clawbacks that we have. $6.6 million returned to both the state of Minnesota and specifically the IRRRB and the accounts that it was taken out of. And that's just one example in the last 6 months.
Mr. Chairman. House File 3925 as amended. Any questions or comments for the testifiers? Representative Wagenius?
Well, yeah, I had asked a lot earlier to be recognized. Do we have time?
We have plenty of time, Representative Wagenius.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hackbarth, when you said earlier that you fashion...
Representative Wagenius, can you move closer to the microphone so we can pick you up? Thank you.
You said earlier that you fashioned your bill after LCCMR, and you and I sit on LCCMR. And for folks who don't know about LCCMR process, sometime last year there were requests for proposals that went out, and there were probably a couple hundred of them. And the LCCMR members, which are part legislators, part citizens, did about half of them, rejected about half. And the half that we took meant that each of those proposers came to the LCCMR for about a half an hour, and literally, and talked about their proposal maybe for 15 minutes, and people questioned about the proposals for about 15 minutes. So this was days and days that literally, I probably 6 or 7 days, full days, that we did this. And Representative Hackbarth, you didn't come to any of those meetings. So what the LCCMR did after listening to all these proposals, came to a consensus, everybody came to a consensus and said, these are the proposals that we're going to go for and recommend to the legislature. And that was drafted up into a bill. Actually, I understand it passed the Senate just yesterday with all the projects the way they had been proposed. But in the House, it was different. When the LCCMR bill was heard in the Environment Committee, a number of the proposals were taken out and new things were put in. One of the new things that was put in certainly doesn't meet constitutional muster, because you have to, for LCCMR, protect natural resources. I mean, that's what LCCMR is about. It's a lottery money to protect natural resources. There was no transparency. These new proposals just came in, and because of the power of the majority, they went into the LCCMR bill, which is now on the House floor. One of those proposals, Mr. Chair, that came out was one I brought up in this committee, and it was about a proposal from the University of Minnesota to make, from a full professor there, I don't remember the department right now, full professor who wanted to make, or is planning to make, solar panels faster, cheaper, and more energy efficient by not using silica sand, but by using another mineral. And when I brought that up in this committee and said, I didn't understand why that was taken out. It was a strong proposal, consensus. And you, Mr. Chair, said, well, I told them to take it out. So to fashion a proposal after LCCMR, I mean, I'm a strong supporter of LCCMR, but to say that that doesn't have flaws and that will work for this is just wrong. I wish LCCMR were working better, but it didn't work well this year. So we're going to see a bill on the floor from LCCMR with proposals that never got a full hearing, were never projects that were heard by LCCMR. It just came out of the sky. So to say that to fashion this after LCCMR is to show its weakness.
Representative Hackbarth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Wagenius. That's absolutely right, but it had legislative oversight. I mean, we had a hearing on the issue. We could take public testimony. We had all kinds of opportunities to look at these projects. And it had legislative oversight. I mean, it's still moving through the process. It didn't just go through LCCMR. It also went through the legislative committees. And now it's going to be on the floor and a chance for everyone to vote for or against the bill and look at each one of the individual projects. I understand in the Senate the bill passed with only 10 no votes. We're going to have the bill on the floor, and I don't know what's going to happen to our bill, but I'm sure it'll pass by an overwhelming majority. And then we'll meet in conference committee. But those things have legislative oversight over the entire process in many different ways. So that's what this is about, and I think this is what is needed for the IRRRB.
Representative Vaganis.
Well, thank you. I think we have to be a little more careful when we say transparency and oversight. The proposals that came into the Environment Committee to change came out of nowhere. They were not proposals before LCCMR. Nobody had any notice. There was no testimony because people didn't know what was getting ready to happen. They didn't know. So to say that we had good transparency there, I think was wrong. There were no bills. There were no bills to change LCCMR. These were just amendments that came in at the last minute. So I think if we are going to change LCCMR, which obviously we LCCMR makes recommendations, there should at least be the courtesy of introducing bills and having witnesses that testify and say, this is a good thing to do. But that's not what happened. And that's, of course, what I worry about with now the history, and it's what I worry about with this particular proposal for the range.
Mr. Chairman,
Representative,
thank you, Representative Wagenius. All through the process, I mean, that's the way things work here. We can offer amendments to change bills, offer different ideas, different projects, take projects out, put projects in. That's what the whole process is all about. And it's not. This is not setting a precedent for LCCMR. This has been done before where projects have been taken out and others have been put in. It's just part of the process. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any additional questions or comments from members of the committee? Representative Metza.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one quick clarification. Representative Hackbarth, when you said in your last statement that we could take them in, put them out, did you mean specifically in Iron Range communities within the Taconite tax relief area, or you're okay with the process that the LCCMR has, having that money go statewide?
Representative Hackbarth.
Mr. Chairman, if we can make this statement in this bill to keep the money on the Iron Range, I'm all for that.
Representative Metzen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So you'll make sure that as that moves through Ways and Means, that is in there, making sure that it...
I don't have a problem with keeping the money on the Iron Range, Representative Metzen.
And I believe there's statutory references we could make for that. So I look forward to working with you on that.
Representative Simonson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My first question is for the commissioner. It has to do with the list of recommendations in the OLA report. And ignoring the piece or the question about the constitutionality, I'm looking at the list of bullet recommendations here. Is it your opinion, as the commissioner of the IRRRB, that every one of these recommendations more than likely can be accomplished? The ones, I mean, you've accomplished some of these already, and you're making progress on others, but is it reasonable to say that you can accomplish each one of these without a change to Minnesota statute?
Commissioner.
Mr. Chairman, Representative, yes, we can accomplish all these without any legislation.
Representative Simonson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My next question is then to Representative Metza regarding the DE2 that we just discussed a moment ago. Is that essentially what Senator Bach's bill was that he had introduced?
Representative Metza.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Simonson, yes, it is the House companion.
Representative Metzel, or Simonson.
That Representative Van Zels is carrying.
Representative Simonson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, I'm just going to make a comment before we move on here. I don't have any more questions, but we were handed out a couple of documents from a couple of organizations on the Iron Range in support of Senator Bach's bill, Senate File 3582, which references the IRRRB reorganization, which we essentially discussed when we brought up the DE2. We've heard from the commissioner that, you know, the list of recommendations that came out in the auditor's report were definitely good and warranted recommendations, and, you know, they're addressing those. And we don't need to change the law in order for them to finish addressing those recommendations. I think where we do need to change the law is essentially what was in the DE2, and you know, I hope eventually we get to that point, but I think the concern about the constitutionality is a good one, and it's one that folks all over the state should be concerned about. And I think that what's in the DE2 amendment that we're not taking up would have accomplished that without creating a lot of unnecessary drama. To the point about legislative oversight, because it's been talked about here a number of times, and I understand, you know, the concerns and the reasons why we would want to make sure that we have legislative oversight. But I just want to bring your attention to a couple of areas where I try to draw some comparisons. If you look at what the legislature does, you know, when we establish our biennial budget, for example, we appropriate, you know, somewhere north of $1 billion each biennium now to local government aid. And that's money that's appropriated by the legislature to units of local government, cities. And those city councils receive those dollars, you know, presumably goes into their general fund. And those city councils and those mayors make decisions about how to spend that money on behalf of their communities. We don't get into the weeds of telling them how they should or shouldn't spend those dollars. We don't get into the weeds of requiring them to report back to us exactly how they spent those dollars. And I think that, you know, the key is that we're appropriating money to elected officials. And we as elected officials know that if we're not responsive to our constituents, there's a payback for that, right? I mean, if our constituents aren't happy with our service, you know, they're going to make a change. So I don't agree with the idea that we need, you know, in-depth legislative oversight into the detail that's contained in the bill that's before us, because I don't think that we do that really anywhere, not necessarily anywhere, but in many other places of our state government. And I think as we go forward, you know, good questions have been raised and good answers have been given. And I'll go back to, you know, some of the opening testimony by Representative Anzels. I think that if the intent of the author of the bill is to provide some additional transparency or provide perhaps some additional citizen involvement on the board, then perhaps a bill should have been introduced that would do just that. I think you would be really hard-pressed to find 9 people, senators and representatives, that were more in tune with the needs of the Iron Range than the people that sit on the IRRRB. I really believe that. And being a neighbor to the Iron Range, I do believe that, and I suggest that we all consider that. But to me, Mr. Chair, this bill is well-intended, I think, but I think it goes too far. And I would hope that as it goes forward, if it goes forward, that some real attention is given to Senator Bach's provisions, and perhaps that we can actually pass something that might get signed into law.
Any additional questions or comments from the committee? Seeing none, the chair will offer his comments. We'll go to Representative Hackbarth for a closing statement, then we'll vote. First of all, Commissioner, what is the governor's position on House File 3925?
I believe it's my understanding that he's opposed to it. Can I make one other real quick comment, Mr. Chairman, with your permission? Because things get said and then they get written down and they get reported on. So I just want to clear up just a couple of things. One is about this clawback issue. We have 2 attorneys on staff. All our loan agreements are drafted, our legal documents that are drafted, and we are protected by collateral guarantees, all kind of thing. And every one of them is collected if we have any kind of default or issue with a loan. They're collected to the full extent of the law. So I don't know. Again, things get said and say, well, they didn't have clawback provisions on something. Unless something more specific, I would say that is not accurate. And I just want to go on the record with that. The other thing I would just point out, just because I'm a little older than most of the people here, so at one time the legislature had an LCMR or LCCMR like process for doing clean water and wastewater. They would be done politically through the legislature, and then they had the wisdom to set up the Public Facilities Authority and hand that off, and that has been wildly successful. And so now we're taking something and reverting it back to some kind of legislative approval, and I think people have made comments. So I just thought I'd throw that out there for your information.
Thank you. Well, my closing comment, then we'll go to the author and we'll vote, is, you know, my father's side of the family comes from West 7th Street in St. Paul, which, as everyone knows, is the capital of common sense. And when you go down and you talk to the people on West 7th Street, there's plenty of us left. The capital, people who reside in the capital of common sense say, what is the government doing owning a golf resort? And then when you tell them that the government owns a golf resort that loses money, that just doesn't make any sense. That's the world I live in. So, Representative Hackbarth, any closing comments before we vote?
Mr. Well, Chair, roll call, please.
Roll call's been requested. Representative Hackbarth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I think that the bill pretty much speaks for itself. It does provide the oversight and the accountability that we're looking for. And it is a state government agency, and there's no legislative oversight, and that's why the bill's here.
All right. With that, Representative Metza, you want to stick with the roll call? Representative Metza? Luke Kirk will take the roll.
Garofalo?
Yes.
Baker? Mahoney?
No.
Clark?
This is on Metz's amendment?
No, this is on the bill.
Oh, the bill. No.
Clark?
No.
Fabian?
Yes.
Gunther? Portman? Isaacson?
No.
Johnson?
No.
Noonan?
Yes.
Metza.
No.
Neuberger.
Aye.
O'Neill.
Yes.
Scott.
Yes.
Simonson.
No.
Smith.
Yes.
Swizinski.
Yes.
Vogel.
Yes.
Wagenius.
No.
There being 9 ayes and 7 nays, House File 3925 is amended. Is passed. Referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Members, that completes our business for the day. Good seeing everyone. And with that, we are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Member.